Okay, so let's continue. In volume 3, January 12th, 1900. Only my holy humanity was filled with opprobriums and humiliations to the point where they overflowed outside. This is why heaven and earth tremble before my virtues, and the soul who loves me uses my humanity as a staircase in order to ascend and lap up a few little drops of my virtues. So again, what Jesus taught us for the last 2,000 years is how to receive the virtues, his virtues. And the saints have only, again, like he says, lapped up a few little drops of the virtues of Jesus. And now the Lord is ready to fill us with himself. This is what the divine will is, to share in his divinity, to become that drop of water, entering that cup filled with wine, to be fused and diffused into God. This is why we were created. There were no other gods. And God wanted to share his divinity with dirt. So he made Adam, and he breathed into Adam, and it says, I want you to possess. And that's how much God is. He's total love. He wants us to participate in divinity. So Jesus says, tell me now, before my humility, where is yours? Okay, and that's a question that he asks of us. Where is our humility? What the saints have taught us is when we pray for humility, we will be humiliated. That's the only way to be humble. You have to be humiliated. So when things go wrong, and you're humiliated by your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, I mean, fiat. This is how you're going to be humble. This is where humility comes from. But if you're going, who do you think you are talking to me that way? There's no humility there. It's to say, okay, you know, Lord, this is what you want. Now, we learned this, again, in sacred scripture. We saw that with David when the man was throwing stones at David, cursing David, and his soldiers wanted to kill that man. David said, no, this is what God wants, and we cannot interfere with what God wants. Now, I mean, I can guarantee you are 100% right. You know, you've never said anything wrong. And how dare anybody say that you're wrong? I mean, that's how we live. No, God alone is holy. God alone is good. God alone is right. And even if we express ourselves clearly, we will be misinterpreted. We'll be misunderstood. Fiat. I'm not here to justify myself. We're not here to justify ourselves. We're here to say, let it be done as you say, Lord. So he wants us to have humility. So he asks us to be humiliated. Okay? Can we say fiat to that? Can we? Do I hear an amen? No, it's just basically. You have to. Our God loves us. But our human will is so strong that we have to let God be our God and be humble. So Jesus says, I alone can glory in possessing true humility. I mean, here is God, and they spit at him, ignored him, ridiculed him, mocked him, persecuted him, and he said, fiat. This is our God. So we have to learn from him. Society will say you're wrong. You're wearing a scapular. What's wrong with you? You're going to confession. What's wrong with you? You're obeying the Pope. What's wrong with you? You're going to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. What's wrong with you? You're praying the Rosary. What's wrong with you? See, it's as Catholics, we have to live this life, not to be afraid of it. I'm going to pray my Rosary. I'm going to go to Holy Mass. I'm going to spend time for the Blessed Sacrament. I'm going to wear my scapular. And then put up with the misunderstanding, the abandonment, the persecution. Now, with the divine will, there's even more than that. Because nobody can understand the divine will. I mean, what's being taught right now, I'm looking at this huge door to the kingdom, and at the very bottom, there's a little sliver of light coming from underneath. That's all I'm talking about. God is going to open this door to the kingdom that's never been seen. No human has ever seen it except Adam. Jesus and Mary lived there. Louise was brought in, but nobody else. I remember when St. Francis wanted to hear a melody from heaven, and the angel said, I'm just going to give you one note. And he goes, oh, come on, just give me a song, you know, one note. And he played one note, and he was in ecstasy for 3 days. One note. See, what we're talking about, no theologian has studied this. No saint was aware of this. They did the will of God, but no one lived in the will of God. So what we're talking about is just, the door hasn't been opened. Jesus said to Louisa, you are the key that is given to the Pope. And the Pope, who has the keys to the kingdom, will open the door of the kingdom and everyone will be let in. The two keys. One key is to open the door, that's you, Louisa. The other key is to lock up our human will, never to be in charge again. This is what God is going to do. So, in explaining this, we're just giving a micro speck of light that's infinite behind this door. So, okay, when don't limit God, don't limit the Lord. When you're reading this, try to understand this three-dimensional technicolor that Luis is talking about to our two-dimensional black and white brain. We have to understand, as you read this, the more that you read this, it becomes greater. The more that you read the divine will, Jesus says there's many books out there. There's many, many books. And people come to me all the time, Father, got to read this book. Thank you very much. I put it in my library. It doesn't mean anything to me. Jesus says there's many, many books. The only book that will transform a soul is the book of heaven. Why? Because it is Jesus Christ dictating these words. Well, we have St. Faustina. She was the secretary. That's true, but it's not the divine will. We have Dina Bellegier. Dina Bellegier, Jesus said, you know, you're going to die in this day. And Dina said to the sisters, I'm going to die in this day. And they all came into the room waiting for her to die with her candles, and nothing happened. And she goes, I guess I was wrong. 2 weeks later, Jesus showed up. Jesus, I thought you said I was going to die on this day. He says, you did. You are in heaven. I am your divine substitute. I am living your life. And when this body dies, you will see that you have been in heaven since that day. Now, this is Dina Bellegier, Blessed Dina Bellegier, the divine substitute, but that is not the divine will. When God breathed into Louisa, when God basically brought this gift to Louisa, he was so happy that it overflowed into many saints. But it's not the divine will. The light was shining on, like Dina Bellegier, Maximilian Kolbe, John Paul II. I mean, this light was just shining, but it's not the center of the light which Louisa possesses. So again, there's many beautiful books out there. Thank you very much. It goes into my library. I haven't got time to read it. The time is too short. I've got to focus on the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great book of the divine will. This is going to, I remember being in the Vatican when we took out the writings in the secret archive. I was so excited. Jesus said that these books will transform the face of the earth. Jesus says, I see in these writings a new sun for my church, S-U-N, that's going to radiate, and people will be spiritualized and divinized as they read these writings. I mean, this is what's going to happen to the world. This is why the illumination has to come. This is why the chastisement has to come. What's coming is heaven to earth. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. So Jesus has shown us that the virtues, yes, are here, but humility is important. But God wants more for us than that. We have to go, volume 1 through volume 10 is how to become a saint. how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. We have to study volume 1 through volume 10 to become a saint. And it's very concise. And it's as you read 1 through 10, you will become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's what Jesus promises us. He said, I promise you I will stand by you and I will touch your mind and touch your heart so that you'll know what you're reading and you will love what you're reading. Then when you read volume 11 through volume 19, you begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as you read volume 20 through volume 36, you receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Now, St. Honorable de Francia, who was Louisa's spiritual director, never read 20 through 36. He died before that. It's our job to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what God's planned for us. And so what we want is we want to enter into this. So, again, it's not only just the virtues, it's not only true humility, which we have to have, but God wants more. So he says this. He says, my divinity united to my holy humanity could operate prodigies at each step, each word, each work. Yet I, Jesus, voluntarily constrained myself within the circle of my humanity. I, Jesus, showed myself as the poorest. I, Jesus, reached the point of mingling with sinners themselves. I, Jesus, could have done the work of redemption in a very little time. Even with one single word, I could have redeemed all of mankind, he says. Yet, during the course of many years and with many hardships and sufferings, I, Jesus, wanted to make the miseries of mankind my own. And I, Jesus, wanted to exercise myself in many different actions so that mankind might completely be renewed and divinized, even in the lowest works, even with a blinking of the eye. It'll become a divine act. I mean, as you enter into this gift, you're in heaven. You are in heaven. See, there's no time or space. When Adam sinned, he had to leave paradise, which was eternity. He had to leave paradise and be trapped in time and space. That's why this body has to die. Because this body is not the body that God wanted us to have. So this body has to die and rot. We have to get old, wrinkled, gray-haired, and die. But that's not God's plan. But God's plan is to be eternally young with Him. Never to get old. I mean, that's what God's plan. So when Adam was left eternity and trapped in time and space, this is where we've been for 6,000 years. Now what Jesus says is, now is the time. See, time is coming to an end. Our Lady tells us this. It's very, very clear. Time is going to come to an end. That's why if you are not changed when time comes to an end, you will not be able to change. When time, in that twinkling of an eye, in that moment, time ends. And you enter into eternity. Now, where you are at that point is where you're going to stay for eternity. That's why we must reach perfection. There's no time to lose. We must reach perfection. How do we do this? Go to Jesus and Mary through Louisa. Learn this divine life. Learn how to live in the divine will. And be ready for that moment when time stops. Jesus says it in volume 20. The divine will is going to happen as if by magic. Boom. All of a sudden, the kingdom will be here, and everyone's going to say, how did this happen? And Jesus said it happened because of Louisa, and the soul's linked to Louisa. That's us. Not St. Francis, not St. Clair, not St. Dominic, not St. Benedict. This is our job. To bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father. This is the new evangelization. This is what's going to come upon the earth. When the time of illumination comes, everyone's going to, first of all, see, a friend of mine, he's a spiritual director of a woman in Toronto who, when she was an atheist, and all of a sudden, in an instant, she had this blinding light. She knew all of sacred scripture by heart. She could Right today, she could say, you know, anything. She knows sacred. She knows the whole Bible by heart. And she said she knew four things at that moment when that light hit her. Number one, that Jesus was the Son of God. Number two, Our Lady is the Mother of God and our Mother. Number three, the Pope is the Vicar of Christ on earth. And number four, she says, I had to become Catholic. Now, that gives you a glimpse of what's going to happen in this time of illumination. Everyone's going to know, first of all, Luisa Picaretta. And they're going to want to read this. Where can I find out about Luisa Picaretta? Who knows Luisa Picaretta? Why? Because in that moment, God is going to say, this is what I have planned for mankind. Not to continue to live like this in misery and sin, but to live the abundant life that I breathed into Adam. To live the abundant life that I breathed into my apostles. To live this time of sanctification, of divinization, as St. Peter tells us. This is what's coming. So, Jesus says, my divinity hidden within my holy humanity wanted to lower itself to such baseness, subject itself to the course of human actions, while with one single act of my will, I could have created infinite worlds, feeling the miseries and the weaknesses of others as if they were its own, seeing itself covered with all the sins of men before the divine justice, having to pay their penalty at the price of unheard of pains with the shedding of all its blood. So Jesus, again, that's the other thing too. He washed us clean with his blood, his precious blood. Thus, it exercised continuous acts of profound and heroic humility. O daughter Luisa, here is the immense difference between my humility and the humility of creatures, even that of all the saints combined, which is only a shadow in the face of mine. Because the creature is always a creature and does not know, as I, Jesus, know, how great is the weight of sin. See, that's why, if this time of illumination of conscience, it's going to be tough. We're going to see every thought, every word, every deed that we did that was outside the will of God, and how it affected our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners, how it affected by sin. See, when you sin, it causes earthquakes. That's how terrible sin is. You know, you see all these hurricanes, tornadoes, and that's because of sin. And as you sin, the world is affected. There's no such thing as personal sin. Sin affects everything. And Jesus tells Luisa that the creation is so angry at us because we're not in God's holy divine will, that the creation is coming against us. So when you see a floods, famines, earthquakes, plagues, expect more until we stop sinning. Expect more. Now, if you are striving to live in the divine will, what happens is God will protect you. I can guarantee you he will protect you. See, evil can't affect where God is. Okay? As Jesus is breathing in your breathing, as Jesus is beating in your heart beating, as Jesus is walking in your walking, the devil flees from you. And Jesus, he tells that to Luisa. He can't get near you. So what's really wonderful is the devil is afraid, okay? When you call, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, you're calling heaven to earth. Now, the devil has been banished from heaven. And as we call the divine will, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, come divine will, beat in my heart beating, come divine will, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, what happens at that point is heaven is coming to earth. And when we all really begin to pray this, the devil has to flee. Heaven's coming. Heaven's here. So what happens at that point is as the devil flees, I mean, as Jesus says, there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. Heaven's coming to earth. So God wants us to live heaven on earth now. Not in the future, but now. And that's what we learned through Luisa. So Jesus says, We have to understand the weight of sin. We have to really recognize that we have to be perfect. And when somebody says, well, I'm only human, that's a lie. That's not, we're not only human. We are called to share in divinity. And see, that's why don't limit God. The more that, the closer we get to God, the more God is going to transform us. Okay? So don't limit our Lord. He loves you so much. Even though heroic souls following my example have offered themselves to suffer pains of others, their pains are not different from those of other creatures. They are also they are not new things for them because they are made of the same clay. Moreover, the mere thought that those pains are the cause of new gains, that they glorify God, is a great honor for them. Furthermore, the creature is restricted within the circle in which God placed her. She cannot go out of those limits with which she has been circumscribed by God. Oh, if it were in their power to do or undo things, how many other things would they do? Everyone would reach the stars. But my divinized humanity had no limits. It had voluntarily constrained itself within itself, and it was there the braiding of all my works with heroic humility. So Jesus is saying, the saints don't have this. The saints don't have this divinized life. They had good lives, holy lives, saintly lives. Okay, that's what we've learned for the last 2,000 years. But God wants more from us. Don't limit what God wants. Well, I haven't heard this in the saints. Well, it's about time you hear it. Well, I read John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, the great mystics of the church, and they never said anything about this. That's right. It wasn't for them. As Father Bucci tells us, it's for us. Our job is greater than that of the saints. What God has planned for us has not been seen. That's why the Vatican is so wonderful to know that they're reading it for the third time. It's not just once. I mean, no, normally you go through the writings, okay, they can be, you know, venerable. This is astonishing them. What they're saying, what is this saying? And they go, well, can't mean that. We haven't read it in any of the saints. We can't mean. And what's happening is God is showing them little by little, this is what he has planned for mankind. I remember I gave a talk in right after we got the writings out of the Vatican, and I was in Washington and on the West Coast, on the East Coast, West Coast, yeah. And there was a man who does like television productions, and I'm giving a talk, and he's sitting right in front of me, and he's slouched way down with his arms crossed, just staring at me. And at the end, I said to the priest that was with me, I said, I think everybody believes it except that guy in the front. He said, just can't see him buying into this. So the next day, we said we would invite everybody back the next day, and he was the only one that showed up with his family. And he's sitting there like this, like staring at me. So I'm trying, you know. And then afterwards, he came up to me and he said, if this is true, he says, I've got to change my whole life. Like that. And I looked at him and I went, well, it's true. And what kind of a life are you living? And he says, I've been promoting the saints all my life. But if this is true, I've got to change. If God is really doing this, I've got to change. And you think about that. Here is a man who's devoted his life, you know, videos on the saints, lives of the saints. And he heard the truth. And it really did change his life. And that's the same thing here. God has great, great, great plans. And when we hear what God wants, everything changes. It really does. Volume 3, February 26, 1900. My most holy divine will can never escape you, Louisa. You, Louisa, will always have the most holy divine will in your possession, and if you, Louisa, remain in the circle of my divine will, there you, Louisa, will experience the joys most ineffable and the pleasures most pure. Okay? This is for our benefit. The divine will is Louisa's. So when people talk about the divine will and they don't talk about Luisa Picaretta, something is missing. It's like being a Franciscan, never talking about Francis, or being a Benedictine, never talking about Benedict, being a Dominican and never talking about Dominic. It doesn't make sense. Who possesses this gift is Luisa Picaretta. So when you hear the divine will and you don't hear Luisa, something's wrong. It's her gift. She's the mother of the second generation of the children of light. Well, how can she be the mother? Well, Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother, my sister, my mother to me. We have to understand, everything that Jesus is going to share with us with Luisa, again, our lives cannot be the same anymore. This is the gift of gifts. Not just being virtuous and holy and saintly, but sharing in divinity. This is why, again, everything that in the beginning of this, we talked about just a glimpse of what John Paul II said. He was just preparing the way for this explosion of knowledge that's coming upon the world. By never going out of the circle of my most holy divine will, Luisa becomes noble, divinized, and all of Luisa's operations reverberate in the center of the divine sun, just as the sun's rays reverberate on the surface of the earth, and not one of them goes out of their center, which is God. See, we have to go back to our origin. And that's what God gave to Luisa. What do you possess, Luisa, that the saints don't possess? He says, Luisa's light. See, he says, first of all, he says, the saints are like stars at night. You look at the stars at night, how beautiful they are. They're twinkling in the sky. It's pure black out there, yet there's these beautiful lights. He says, that's the saints. What Luisa is going to do with, what God is going to do with Luisa and with us, he says, Luisa, you are a sun at high noon, giving light and life to everyone and everything, eclipsing the saints. And people have come up to me and they said, no way, the saints are everything. Especially in Ireland, one person said, you know, Luisa is better than St. Patrick. No way, no way, St. Patrick is everything. And it's true, as a saint, he was everything. St. Joseph was everything as a saint. My goodness, I love the saints. You know, like I said before, I've got enough little relics that I could put a body together. You know? But God, who Luisa is, it's not a saintly life. Luisa is, again, like we started, she was in the beatific vision. She went in. That's where she dwelt. And that's why the church is looking at Luisa going, wow, we believe it, but what do we do with this? How do you explain this? And this is why I know the time of illumination is close, because God wants us to understand what this is about. Not just to talk about the little light that's coming from under the door, but having the Pope himself opening the door so that the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 3, August 1st, 1900. My daughter Luisa, there is no one who can stand before my divine majesty and my divine purity. Rather, all are forced to be terrified and struck by the thunderbolt of my sanctity. That's the time of illumination. That's what's coming. We are going to be terrified and struck by the thunderbolt of how holy God is. I remember years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I was praying, let this illumination of conscience happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. And God said two things to me. Number one, you don't know what you're praying for. And number two, can you endure this? And I went, don't let it come. Don't let it come. Don't let it come. We're going to be terrified. God is so holy. He's so beautiful. He's so perfect. He's so loving that we cannot see him and live. He's so beautiful. We are dirt. We are mud. God breathed into us. God has redeemed us, but we're still sinners. We're still so far from God. When God reveals himself, people are going to die. They're going to be terrified because they're going to see how sinful they are compared to how beautiful God is. So again, this is everything I'm reading about the divine will is preparing us for this time of sanctification, this time of illumination. man would almost want to flee from me because his misery is such and so great that he does not have the courage to stand before the divine being. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And here is why. Giving the field to my mercy, I, Jesus, took my holy humanity, which, tempering the rays of divinity, which is the means to infuse in man trust, courage, to come to me. So again, Jesus is present here. He's, when we receive Holy Communion, that is God Almighty, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, but he hides himself. Holy Mass ends right after Communion. Why? Because God does not want, the Church does not want to interfere with our communion with God. So what does most people do? Holy people, they get up and leave. I'm done. Mass is over. No. Jesus is alive in you for at least 15 minutes until the host dissolves. This is the time, this is the most important time for prayer. Yet everybody's up and in their parking lot driving out. Smoking a cigarette, chewing tobacco, chewing gum, laughing, burping, farting. Back to their normal life. And God is within them. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Well, let me tell you about, my this, my that. Our job is to recognize God. He says, I temper my rays so that man can have trusted courage to come to me. But now, okay, if we've come to him, now what are we going to do? This is the holiest time of the day to recognize God within us. How magnificent is this? You know, Moses, Aaron, King David, none of them had the Blessed Sacrament. None of them were ontologically changed for baptism. That's what God has given to us. You know, what God has given to us is so astonishing. And now God wants to give more to us. And that's what the divine will is all about. He wants us to share in his divinity. You know, the saints of the Old Testament, you know, they were blessed by God. They're wonderful, beautiful souls. But they did not have the Church. They did not have the sacraments. We have this. And now, since that's coming to an end, because St. Paul tells us this, we are in the final days. Since that's coming to an end, God wants to give us more. So that's why the earth has to be purified. That's why we have to be purified. God is going to give us a share in his divinity. So, he's asking us to trust him, to have more courage in him. This is exactly what God is looking for. Placing himself before my holy humanity, which spreads rays, temperate rays of the divinity, man has the good of being able to purify, sanctify, and even divinize himself in my very deified humanity. That's what we have right now. That's to live in the will of God. See, the saints before were doing the will of God. Okay, St. Teresa, when she'd wash the dishes, I'm going to do this in God's will. And God would look down and go, wow, she's doing it in my will. Isn't that great? St. Teresa, you're just so sweet. Now what Jesus has done to Louisa is, Jesus, come wash in my washing. The Father looks down and says, my Son is washing the dishes. This is a divine act. And that, all we're doing is saying to God, Lord, you reign in me. It's what the Lord has planned for us. And he's asking us to allow him to have his way with us. That's why fiat is so important. Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. And redemption took place. All Our Lady said was fiat, and God did 100% of the work. Now it's the same with us. God says, do you want my divine will? We say fiat. How about every word, every deed. Fia, fia, fia. And then what happens is God says, get out of my way. Let me reign. Therefore, you, Louisa, remain always before my holy humanity, keeping it as a mirror through which you, Louisa, will clean all of your stains. Not only this, but as a mirror through which, by reflecting yourself in it, you, Louisa, will acquire divine beauty. Not just human beauty, and little by little you will keep adoring yourself in my own likeness. Do you understand? When we're baptized, we're in God's image. And now, through the divine will, we are going to be in God's likeness. He says, I want you to be beautiful, but divinely beautiful. I'm tired of the holy humanity. I want you now to share in my divine humanity. This is what's coming. This is why we're going through what we're going through. God has to say to every person, what do you want? You want to kill your children through abortion? Kill them. You want to murder your parents through euthanasia? Murder them. You say to everybody, do you want to know who I am? Then know me. Do you want to love me? Then love me. What do you want? I'm going to give you what you want. This is why it's so terrifying to want what you want. We have to say to the Lord, let it be done as you say. I don't want my will, but your will be done in me. So this is why it's going to be terrifying for most people, because most people just want the human, want the demonic. And when this time of illumination comes, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful. We, on the other hand, Jesus is saying, live your life for them. So when I pray, come divine will, come pray in my praying, I say, in the name of everyone and everything, hear everyone's voice with my voice. And then I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. And then what happens is, in the name of every person who has ever been conceived, to every animal, vegetable, mineral, to every grain of sand, every leaf on a tree, every drop of water, I adore you, I love you, I praise you. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. It's not going to take many people to do this. God's going to make sure that the world is transformed, and he says really transmuted. But he needs us to link ourselves with Louisa, so this can be accomplished quickly. So he says, and here is how all goods come to man from my humanity. It's basically through the most holy divine will. We, Jesus and Louisa, went around the earth, and it's always Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, because Jesus says to Louisa in another part, when you're with me, Louisa, you're with my mother also. So it's the new Adam and the new Eve with the newborn, Louisa Picaretta. Went all around all the earth. Again, this is not a pious thought. It is a reality. We went all around the earth, and little by little, among many encounters, we met a soul who was prey to despair. Okay, the demons are very they don't have life, so demons attach themselves to person, places, and things. Okay, so she prey to despair. So the demon of despair was there, and what happens is when this is why you have to avoid sin, all the vices. This, as you feed despair with despair, it stays alive in you. When you feed worry with worry, it stays alive in you. With hatred, it stays alive in you. With gossip, it stays alive in you. See, we have to be free of all this, okay, by starving them to death. You don't feed them anymore. Don't keep them alive in you. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin, we got to stop. We have to turn back to God to have our lives filled with peace, joy, and happiness, filled up with heaven. So, having compassion for the soul, we, Jesus and Louisa, drew near this soul, and Jesus wanted me to speak to her to make her comprehend the evil she was doing by despairing. Through a light which Jesus himself infused in me, I said to her, see, again, it's not Louisa. This is not Louisa. It's Jesus. The most salutary and efficacious medicine in the saddest encounters of life is resignation. By despairing, instead of taking the medicine, you are taking the poison with which to kill your soul. Again, see, we have to be free of all this. Don't you know that the most appropriate remedy for all evils, the main thing is that renders us noble divinizes us and makes us similar to the Lord is the virtue of converting the very bitterness into sweetness, is resignation. Okay, now you have to remember, this is volume 1 through volume 10. This is how to become a saint. So to do the will of God is resignation. This is not living in the will. See, God brings about a different understanding. As you learn this, then you go to the next step, which is beyond resignation. What was the life of Jesus on earth, if not continuing in the will of the Father? And what was while he was on earth, he was united with the Father in heaven. The same for the resigned soul. While living on earth, her heart will be united with God in heaven. Okay, so it's fiat. Okay, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, fiat, Lord. I resign myself to this. If this is what you want, fiat. This is what I want. Can there be anything more dear and desirable than this? As though stirred, that soul began to calm herself, and Jesus and I together withdrew, may everything be for the glory of God, and may he always be blessed. Okay, so here, Louisa helped the soul. And I can guarantee you, when you go to Louisa and ask for anything, you'll be very surprised how quickly God will answer your prayers. And why? It's like, you know, people, the Protestants say, you know, you don't go to Mary, you go right to Jesus. Well, St. Louis de Montfort teaches us to Jesus through Mary. Now Jesus is telling us to Jesus and Mary through Louisa. It's the next step. It's not only Jesus, but we need the Blessed Mother. And we're now at that stage. That's why the fifth dogma is going to come. We need the Blessed Mother very, very much. We need the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, the Blessed Mother. How? How do we get there? It's going to be through Louisa. Volume 4, November 8th, 1900. Obedience is so glorified because the obedience has the virtue of unveiling the human passions from their very roots. Obedience destroys in the soul everything which is earthly and material. To obedience, great honor, because obedience gives back to the soul her original state. That is why the soul was created by God in her original justice before being cast out of the terrestrial Eden. So obedience, see, that's why to be faithful and obedient to the church is so important. To be faithful and obedient. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient, and he was cast out. So if a person can't be obedient to the church, what happens at that point is they can't go to heaven. See, the divine life that was breathed into Adam, the universal life, was the Catholic life. This is why it's so great to be a Catholic. Everyone will be Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Right now, the devil has put such division into the church that there's, 3,000 Christian denominations. He's fracturing what God wants one. But you see, at the time of illumination of conscience, everyone will become Catholic. The Jews, the Protestants, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims will be Catholic. They'll say, Muhammad who? I want Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my God, my all. Jesus tells us this in volume 24, the last chapter of volume 24. The divine will is from Rome to Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, everyone will be converted. The world will be converted. This is what's coming. How great this is that our God has given us this opportunity to read, to study, to put into practice these truths. Okay, where do we trust the E? So we'll stop there, and we're going to have Holy Mass in a few minutes. And then lunch. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.